believe that there was a man named Jonah who lived in the belly of a whale. I believe that there is a beautiful heaven. I believe there's a burning hell. I believe that Moses led God's children all across the hot sand. And when they came to the river, God parted the water and they walked across on dry land. I believe in the blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit, he dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood. I believe that Mary was a virgin when she heard Jesus was on his way. I believe if you look inside the lowly manger, you'll see God laying in the hay. I believe that Jesus died and was buried, and he rose upon the third day. I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, God's children will be called away. I believe in the blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit, he dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood. I believe in the blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit, he dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, oh, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood. I believe in the book, I believe in the blood, I believe in the book and the blood.
I'm going to introduce you now to Dr. Bob Gray. And Dr. Gray, if you would come up to the pulpit, please. That makes a great picture, doesn't it? You should only be taking pictures if you're a member of my church and you have written permission. You know, people, somebody in McLaughlin was saying, you know, we got death threats. These people are idiots, man. We're the ones with the guns. I don't know what they're thinking. We're not like other churches. We're just an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We're not ashamed of what we believe. We believe the same thing for 27 years. And this is not the biggest thing in our lives, to be honest with you. But it is a very important thing in our lives. And so we're willing to take a stand for it, and we're willing to pay the price, to be honest with you. But Dr. Gray has been a friend to this church over 20 years, 23 years maybe. I don't remember. He's been coming here, this has got to be his 10th or 12th time since we've had church that he's preached for us. And I have a few heroes, and one of my heroes, Dr. Jack Hiles. I surrendered into the ministry sitting on the front row of a pastor school because Dr. Hiles showed me how hypocritical I was and lazy I was. And just twiddling my thumbs in church, not doing anything. And when Brother Gray came, I have never, ever in my life felt as convicted about personally being responsible for winning souls to Jesus Christ than the man who's about to speak. Amen. You don't know him. He's just from Texas. He's on the flyer. He's on the bulletin. But this is a man who took over his church in Texas. It was running how many when you got there?
159.
And that's how many were left.
We had to split 400 to 159.
Yeah, he took a church over. There was 400 people. And by the time he was done preaching, he had 159 people left. If you're here tonight or Monday, you'll understand why. But after the process of time, his church ran well over 2,000 people every single Sunday. I'll tell you why. Because they care about people. Somebody McLaughlin say, you know, they'll make a big thing about this, but they'll never say anything about us running buses and vans and helping poor people and feeding them and clothing them. I feel just as strongly as taking care of poor people as I do holding on to my Second Amendment. I believe both of them. I believe the Second Amendment, and I believe the First Amendment. And I believe this is the only thing that will defend all the other nine amendments. I believe that. This man that is going to preach to you is just not my friend. I believe he is God's man for this hour. You can't understand that unless you know him personally and know what's been going on in our country the last 20, 30 years. So please give a warm welcome to my friend, Dr. Bob Gray, please.
Well, somebody say amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you didn't have to quit clapping so soon. No, that was funny there. Get your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 31 through 38. We will not be long. I'm hungry. I found some of those chickens in his backyard. I'm going to have them for lunch. And Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 38. Did they actually say that? Is your chickens your back? Man, they just know how I was raised. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 38. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you, dear church, for all of your work. I have been in the ministry for 42 years. I pastored for 33 of those years. The last 5 years, I retired because of my wife's bad health. I've written 33 books. So I've traveled every state in the Union but one, North Dakota, and I'm not going there because it's cold. And I've been in 17 foreign countries. So I've been at this for a long time. Somebody, when I scheduled this meeting, it had nothing to do with AR-15s. And all of a sudden, I started getting phone calls, and some said, "Are you still going?" And I said, "I wish it were tomorrow. I'd be there tomorrow." What you see here is all over America. Most of the churches in America are in rural areas. The average church attendance is 125. And the salt of the earth is found in churches that it's not the mega churches. It's the churches all across this great land of ours that believe the Bible, believe the Word of God, believe in the Constitution, that make this country tick. So I'm there every week. I preach, win souls, and do my best to try to encourage them. And so it's an honor for me to be here with my dear friend. A reporter said, "Have you ever seen anything like this?" I said, "We do this every spring and every fall. I've just never used an AR-15. I said to my son when I first found out about this, I said, "Son, I've got a great promotion for you." I said, I want you to give away some AR-15s. And he said, "Dad, this is Texas. They don't care. The wives in Texas are better armed than the men in Texas are." But Luke chapter 22, if you have that, let's stand and stretch just for a moment here as I read this to you. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, don't ever forget that. Satan is after you. It's a battle between good and evil and God and Satan. Now, verse 32. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, hath a purse." That shows you there were liberals in those days. That was funny there, folks. You're too serious. "He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." Now look at verse 38, our text verse. "And they said, Lord, here are two swords. And he said unto them," and underline this, "it's enough. It's enough." There are two swords because there are two battles. This sword is typical for Bible times. Also, there is this sword. Now, I want you to listen carefully as I talk to you about the subject, what the gospel can do that guns cannot. You listen carefully now. What the gospel can do that guns cannot. I'm going to bow my head and I pray, and then I want you to listen carefully. Father, help me now to bring clarity to this. We're being distracted. We're distracted because of folks who put an emphasis on the wrong thing. But Father, here we are as your people, and we want to put the emphasis on the right thing. So Holy Ghost of God, talk to us, please. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. You may be seated. In Bible times, the weapons that existed were real. I wanted to make sure I was right about this, but they had a bow, a sling, a javelin, a spear, a battle axe. That's not your mother-in-law. And by the way, I love my wife's mother-in-law. You're slow, aren't you? A dagger, iron chariots, and a sword. Now, for short-range battle, the weapons were a sword and a dagger. Every person, every male carried about him a sword and a dagger. Medium range, they would use a spear and a javelin. That was for the armies. The long range, they had a sling and a bow. Now, when Israel was being, Judges 5:8, I'm going to give you some scripture. I want you to write it down. I haven't got time to read all of it to you, but Judges 5:8 said about the nation Israel, they were in trouble. And it said, not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. They were being dominated by the enemy because they had no weapons. Now listen carefully. The Iron Age actually commenced in Israel during the days of the Judges, because the Philistines had a monopoly on iron metallurgy, had a monopoly on it. They had, listen to this, 900 iron chariots. Philistines did. The Israelites had to revert to two things, and that was divine intervention and strategy. It was the forests, the hills, and they turned to guerrilla warfare in order for them to be able to win the battle against the Philistines. And this battle was won because of God and because of God giving them the genius to be able to fight this battle. Not a weapon in the land. And they took plowshares and beat them into weapons. And then God miraculously gave them the victory. Now, in this matter of the sword, I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I want you to write this down, if you would. You need to understand that the weapon that God uses, that we're to use as Christians, as we fight the battle, is not this sword, but it is this sword. Now, we use this sword, but as God's people, we're not to be diverted or distracted. Please understand, a man will take a sword like this and take a live man and he'll be dead. We take a sword like this and we take a dead man and we'll make him alive. So I want you to write these down, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't be distracted. I'm going to buy every gun I can get and put it in my house. Why don't you get you some Bibles and put it in other houses? Oh, the truth is, I should have declared this. I'm wearing a concealed weapon this morning. Now, reporters, listen up. It's not registered. And so I want you to know, I'm trying to be honest with you. There it is. Now, my question, are you Christians carrying concealed weapons? I'm not talking about a gun. I'm talking about the Word of God. There are people that are going to die and go to hell because you've been distracted, and you ought to get back out knocking on doors and giving people the gospel. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow is and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, write this down. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this is God's command to us. In Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Matthew 4, Jesus was battling with Satan. What did he use? Did he use this sword in battling Satan? No, he used this sword to battle Satan. And that's when he said, it is written. Write this down. Psalm 138, verse 2. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. So he said, I want you to take this word and hold it. That's why it's used in the neuter term of it. It's in black and white. Don't add to it. Don't take away. You don't need to belong to the Bible of the Month Club. Just get you a King James Bible and you'll be all right. So please understand here that God's purpose is, he said to them, did he not say, both? You need both. I'm for this, but I'm also for this. And I'm more for using this to get the gospel out than I'm using this. You can't make somebody get saved. When I got saved, I wanted to. My mama didn't make me get saved. My daddy didn't make me get saved. My preacher didn't make me. I didn't want to go to hell. So I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God was placed in my soul and a birth took place. Amen. I exist today because my mom and my dad came together and the seed of my dad was placed in the womb of my mom and I'm here. The Bible says without the seed of the Word of God, there cannot be a new birth. You cannot be born again. It's not the baptistry that gives you that birth. So I got baptized to wash away my sins. Then your sins would go down the drain. They would evaporate, go up in the clouds, and your sins would rain on you once again. That's ridiculous. If I thought you had to be baptized to go to heaven, I'd carry a tank around with me when I went soul winning. Get a guy saved. Dunk him now. Don't wait. James 1:8. Of his own begat he us with the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 22-23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which abideth forever. Liveth and abideth forever. All right, write this one down. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We as Christians are not to invade nations. This is so dumb. They told those guys, get on an airplane, fly into the Twin Towers, and if you'll become a martyr and you die, you will go to heaven and have 70 wives on the other side. Son, that's not heaven. You're not going to smile, are you? 70 wives is not heaven. That's 70 mother-in-laws, buddy. That's crazy. And by the way, if these leaders, if martyrdom was a truth, then why didn't the leaders do it instead of sending little girls out to do it? Somebody say amen to me now. I say this because the gospel can do what God intended for it to do, and that's to bring life to a man. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel now is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it again. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That's what this Bible teaches. All right, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The sword is God's weapon to get the gospel to the world. We must take the... Are you telling people how to be saved? You have a concealed weapon. You carry a gun, and I'm not opposed to that. But are you carrying the scriptures? Are you telling people how to be saved? I'm telling you right now, the more people you get saved, the more votes you'll have. It cannot be just an issue of guns. It's got to be an issue of the gospel. And we've got to take the gospel to a world that's dying and going to hell. Many a drunk father in our church has been saved and become a sober father. Many a mother who knew nothing of morality and ruining a family has found Jesus Christ and found morality after they found Christ. I cannot tell you the number of, we run buses, 40 bus routes, And we would, at our height, we averaged 4,000 in Sunday school. And 2,000 of those came in on buses. You're talking about putting your money where your mouth is. We gave $325,000 over 29 and a half years. That was after the day was over. We called it a gleanings offering. After everything was done, we had families that needed help. They needed lights put on. They needed their rent paid. They needed food. And we'd take up a collection after the service. It totaled $325,000 over 30 years. We gave $9.3 million to missions to try to get the gospel to the world. We did not ask an army to invade another nation in order to make them saved. We take the word of God and we take it to people who want to be saved. You see, it's the word of God. Ephesians 6 and chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. We are in a battle against evil, according to what the Bible says. It's a battle against evil. There in this world, there's good and evil. There's God and Satan. This issue of guns is nothing more than we're being distracted. You ought to be concerned about, did you get anybody saved this week? Did you give the gospel to anybody this week? I'm for the gun. If you come to my house and try to break in my house, I shoot and then pray. You understand? So don't look at me like I'm not for this. Don't. My wife knows how to shoot. I know how to shoot. And my poodle knows how to shoot. Amen. But I'm saying to you, and somewhat I'm kind of reprimanding some of you, because you're more concerned about this gun issue than the gospel issue. And you need to get right with God this morning. You need to be more passionate about somebody burning in hell. Now keep the other. Keep the other. Whatever you, don't throw your gun away. Keep it. Don't. I'm not saying that. Don't you misrepresent me this morning. I got your address. I'll hunt you down. Now, somewhere in here, we're going to have to grasp what God is trying to do. God is saying to us that there's the sword of the Spirit. There are two swords that are needed, and you need the sword of the Spirit. Now, here's the sermon. Write it down. We're out of here. Are you ready? Number one, everybody is a sinner. Everybody. Everybody. Now, to the extent that you sin and are active in sin, you're on the road to evil, and you're going to hurt somebody. If there are no moral restraints, if there are no conscience, then you will hurt somebody someday. We are basic, and you understand, for all have sinned. Don't look around like it's just your mother-in-law. Everybody's a sinner. The guy next to you says, everybody's a sinner. I remember my daughter, Karen, red-headed daughter, she was one of our college students was babysitting her, and so she thought she'd practice a soul winning presentation. So she said, now Karen, little redhead girl, said, now Karen, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Karen said, that's right. Now that means that your mama is a sinner? Yes, okay. That means your daddy's a sinner? And she said, no, not daddy. And well, she's right. Now, for all have sinned. That's why we have the deaths, and that's why we have the break-ins, and that's why, because there are sinners who become evil. There's a difference between David and Bathsheba committing a sin of adultery and then David being evil and killing Bathsheba's husband. And if you keep up with the sin and keep going, it will turn into evil. And James chapter 1 says it turns into death. Number two, sin leads to evil. Number three, sin leads to death. So understand what we're dealing with here. Every human being is a sinner. Somebody will give them a chance to get saved, get born again, get the Holy Spirit in them so they can do right. You can't muster it up if it's not in you. Some men are evil. 15 times in the Bible, God warns us about evil men. Some 13 times, he warns us about an evil spirit. And according to the Bible, sin causes two deaths. Write this down, Hebrews 9, 27. It's appointed unto man once to die. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, it says there's a second death. That's a death in a lake of fire. Now, all of us here are going to die the first death. It's appointed unto man once to die. But the difference is, have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Because if you are, you have life in you that will live beyond the body that's going into the grave. Now, that's the issue. The gospel can do that. Guns cannot do that. I can keep you at bay with a gun, but I cannot get you saved with that gun. But I can get the word of God, the sword, explain to you how you need to trust Jesus Christ. Why is it that all Bible-based countries are great countries? Why is it that all anti-Bible, anti-God have such trouble? I mean poverty. I mean people starving to death. I mean the corruption. Because there are certain nations that have developed an evil spirit. You better thank God you're an American, and you better thank God you live in the United States of America. But more than that, how many of you are saved on your way to heaven? Let me see your hand. All right. Take the gospel to the rest of the world. Tell people how to be saved. If you get enough people saved, you don't have to worry about Como. Somebody say amen now. What we need is Rick Perry. But anyway, that was good. I had to slip that right in there. Somewhere in here, you're going to have to understand there's a difference between this and this. Now, Jesus said, it's enough. He never said, throw your swords away. He said, keep them. But he said, I want you to know this is going to bring life. It'll bring life. If you're here this morning and you came because of this issue, you better realize there's another issue. Because once you die, you're either going to heaven or hell. And you wake up in hell, you'll be there 1 second, and it'll dawn on you, you're going to be there forever. Now, you need Jesus Christ. Thank God for our government that has used weapons to keep us free. Thank God for that. You know, the written document of the scriptures and the written document of the Constitution are amazing, aren't they? Liberals want to change these words. And liberals want to change the Constitution. I'm telling you right now, I'm for keeping the Constitution just like it is. And I'm for keeping the Word of God just like it is. If you got a bunch of perversions on your shelf at home, get rid of them and get you a King James Bible. Somewhere, and better than that, why don't you this morning trust Christ? Would you do that? Now, somebody's got to pay. I'm staying at the Hilton in case you want to come by and see me. Now, when I get ready to leave, that dear lady down here is going to say, Dr. Gray, here's the bill. And hopefully this church will pay my motel bill. I've preached in some places where I had to pay it myself. But just I don't mind that at all either, by the way. But somebody's got to pay. I ran up a bill. Somebody's got to pay. You're a sinner. Amen me now. Your horns are holding your halo up. Yeah, you're a sinner. For the wages of sin is death. That's that second death, not the first one, because Christians die too. But when you stand, listen, somebody's going to pay. Either you pay or Jesus pays. But somebody's got to pay. Now, if you're wise this morning, you'll trust Jesus Christ to pay that sin debt. So how do you know it was paid for? Because of the resurrection. Died, buried, resurrected. The Bible, God himself said that's the gospel, not baptism. Not church membership, death, burial, resurrection. So you trust Christ and has paid for, then you get to go to heaven when you die. Listen, the part of you that gets saved is your soul, not your body. You know, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're really messing up. Because it's a birth on the inside that must take place. Dr. Gray, are you for the sword? Absolutely. I'm for both swords. Both swords. If you're more concerned about this than you are this, then you're badly mistaken what God had in mind. You better be more concerned about this. My dad used to say, you can have my guns when the bullets are gone. I love my daddy. My dad's an old Arkansas hillbilly. He had more sense in his little finger than these politicians got in their whole body. And you're seeing here in this church and the pastor with the chickens in the backyard, this is a picture of America. Now you keep America strong by taking the gospel to the people who are going to hell. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll turn an indecent man into a decent man. Yes, it will. My dad was a drunk. My dad got saved, and he became a God's man in our home. I saw it in my own eyes, and others need the gospel too. Let's stand, our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes. We'll be through in just a second. Close your eyes. And I want you to mentally picture where you were when you got saved. Please listen carefully. We'll be through in just a second. I want you to mentally picture where you were when you got saved. I didn't say baptized. I didn't say join a church. Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, but for sure. Saved from what? Hell. Can you see where you were? You may not remember the day. You may not remember the time. But you, was it altar? Was it Sunday school class? Was it home in the bedroom, living room? If you can see where you were when you got saved, would you very quietly raise your hand, hold up high, say, preacher, I can see it. Just as sure as I'm standing here, I can see it. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. Now, if you could not raise your hand, and you're being honest, and I want to applaud you for your honesty, and you really honestly do not know that if you died, you go to heaven. If you know that we're all sinners, if you know that what the price is, and it's death in hell, and you know that Jesus Christ, the only one that's ever been resurrected from the dead, that has the power to save your soul. All Jesus wants to do, he's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your soul. But if you will open up your soul and let that shed blood on Calvary be applied to your soul, his blood's the only cleansing agent in the Bible. And if you'll accept that blood and let it cleanse your soul, you, my friend, will have the new birth and you'll go to heaven when you die. Please, it's not what you do on the outside, it's what you do on the inside. Now, right where you are, if you want to trust Christ, you all you have to do is just ask him. An attorney says to the judge, I pray the court. He's saying, can I communicate? A sinner's prayer does not save you. It's Jesus that saves you. But prayer is communication. Now, right where you are, will you communicate with Christ? And when you invite him into your soul to apply that blood, would you do that this morning? By faith, simple childlike faith. Are you ready? I'm going to word a simple prayer. These words do not save, and this prayer does not save. Jesus does the saving of the soul. But if you want to go to heaven when you die, don't you pass this up. Don't you miss this. You invite him in right where you are. I'm going to word it. It's not the words that save. You ask him to come in. Not out loud, but you ask him to come in. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. Please have mercy on my soul. I now receive Christ's blood to save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for answering prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. I wonder if you in childlike faith just trusted Christ to save your soul. Would you very quietly raise your hand and hold up high. Say, preacher, I did that. Hold up high, way up high, way up high, way up high. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Father, thank you for many people that raised their hand and said yes to Christ. Thank you that you've made it so simple that we could understand it and embrace it. Thank you, Father. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now look this way and listen carefully. The pastor is down here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have what is known as an invitation. You know what this is down here? This is an altar. In most churches, it's just used for funerals and weddings. But it ought to be used after the preaching of the Word of God. And this morning, if you raised your hand, and several of you did, and said yes to Christ, that I want you to step out the minute we begin, and I want you to come and find the pastor, one of the pastors, and take them by the hand and say, I've trusted Christ this morning, because it'll make all the difference in the world. You've been saved but not baptized, you come and tell them. Baptism doesn't save you, but it'll identify you with Christ. But you save people. Will you use the altar so that others know it's okay here? It's not embarrassing. We're all sinners. Some are saved, some are not. So please trust Christ this morning as we begin the invitation right now. Right now. Come on. Come on. Save people. You come. Use the altar. But you said yes to Christ. You come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed of him. He's not ashamed of you. You come and take the pastor by the hand. Say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ. If you're saved, you come on. Use the altar. You come and use the altar this morning. But if you've trusted Christ, you come and let the pastor know that you've trusted Christ. Please don't be ashamed now. Please don't be ashamed. You've trusted Christ. Don't be ashamed of it. That's right. Come on, son. Come on, sir. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's right. And if you're a Christian, make it easier for people around you. You come on down and use the altar. Don't stand and look like you're looking down on people. You'd be up. We're all sinners. You're either saved or not saved. But make it easy for folks to come to Christ. If you said yes to Christ, you come and take one of the pastors by the hand and let them know that you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. You let them know. Make a public identification with Jesus Christ. A public identification with Jesus Christ. Oh, how God loves you this morning. Oh, how he loves you this morning. Please trust the Savior. Please trust the Savior. Not this church, not baptism. Trust the Savior. Jesus Christ alone can save your soul from hell. Trust Christ. He's your only hope. Not this church, not owning a gun, but Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If you have not come to the altar, I want you to pray while folks are at the altar. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you pray while folks are at the altar? Please, if you have any question about this thing of heaven, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. You come, find one of these folks and let them show you from the Bible.